So I really want to encourage our hearts this morning, because I think all of us have been in this place at some point in our lives. That have you ever been in a place where you feel hopeless? Have you ever been in a place where you feel stuck in a situation and you cannot find your way out of that situation? That you have exhausted every option that you can try? That you've done everything you figure you can do in your head, in your mind, and in your intellect, and it never comes up on your side? Have you ever been in a place where you were in despair? Every door you tried to open, it was a locked door. And on the real, have you ever felt like God was not on your side? That you prayed, you've been patient, you've waited, you've cried out in despair, in distress, but it felt like God was not hearing you in the moment. Have you ever felt like God didn't see you? Well, today there's good news for you. There's good news to me. I want to let you know this morning, God sees you. God knows exactly where you are. God knows your address. God knows what you are going through. You may be in a hard place right now, but he is the God of hard places. That he is a strong God, a wise God, a caring God, and God is with you even now. And so today we're going to discover that the help that you might need, it may be a long time coming, but help is on the way, that God will rescue you. God will, anybody believe that today? God will bring you out. And so turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings. Set your Bibles, electronic devices, look to the screen. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. In honor of God's word, if you are able to stand, please stand. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. Thank God for our worship leader today. Amen. Reverend Michael Boykin, the man of high energy. Amen. We thank God for Iron Mike this morning. So I encourage you, as we read the text this morning, consider the entire text, the entire chapter of 2 Kings chapter 7. I promise you, it's a great story of God's delivering power when you find yourself in a hard place. Yes. But you got to know something. The same God of the Old Testament, the same God of the New Testament, and the same God right now. The same God that delivered Israel is the same God that will deliver you. The same God that was with him in a hard place, it is the same God that is with you in your hard places in life. And you've got to believe that and trust that and hold on to that. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, it reads as thus. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Elisha, the great prophet of God, replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." You got to be careful of negative folk. "That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elisha replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." And so again, I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. It's a simple message, but I need you to know this, that God is a God that will help you in hard times. That you have help in the hard times and the hard places in your life. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That we have help in hard times. So when we look at 2 Kings chapter 6, we find God's people, Israel. Now, let me be a historian for just a minute. So at this point, God's people, Israel, we speak of them as a whole. They are a divided kingdom. At this point in history that they are divided, there is the northern kingdom of Israel. And so they hang out in a place called Samaria. That's the city center. That's where everything is going on. In the south, there is God's people called Judah. And so where everything hangs out and goes is Jerusalem. But we're talking today about the northern kingdom of Israel and what was going on in their lives. And so we find in the text that Samaria, God's people in the northern kingdom, they are under siege by the Arameans, as we call them today, the Syrians. And so, but rather than attack the city, the Arameans decided to surround the city, and they were going to starve them out of the city. When you read chapter 6, y'all, the conditions, they are awful. They are bad. They are terrible. They are in dire straits. When we look at the text, you think about the imagery of this. Men would go through the city streets, y'all. They had blank stares. They were skinny. They were bones, y'all. They were worn. That the women would stand at the doorways with their children in their arms, and the children would be puny and skinny. They were starving. It got so bad, y'all, that they started talking about it, actually started doing it. They were eating each other's children. The king was distraught, that he was in despair, that he was in deep distress about what was going on. That as people pressed against the city gates, y'all, they were eating children, they were eating donkey head, y'all. Donkey head stew. Can you imagine that? Look at a donkey. Think a donkey in your mind and think of chopping that donkey's head off and making a good stew out of some donkey head. Nah, it just didn't sound well with me. They were eating Doug's dong, I guess. It's not the right way to say this, Doug poop, but Doug poop pudding, whatever. They were eating these things. And so you see how bad it was. The conditions were really bad. And they were paying high prices for this stuff as well. Again, the tariffs were high, y'all. So they were paying high prices. And so again, the king was helpless and at his wit's end. And so he admits even in the text, look at verse 33. He lets us know all this misery comes from the Lord. That everything that was happening to them, y'all, it was happening because of their own sins. It was their own doing. And God brought punishment against the nation of Israel. It's a funny thing. I don't know if you've ever been there. You've been in a dire situation, something that you've gone through, and it's real bad, and you cried to God, and you cried out to God, and you cried out to God, and it seems like God did not answer in the moment, that God did not answer in the season. And maybe you murmured. Maybe you said in your heart, God, I'm mad at you. Because God, I'm asking. And I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. And so the king, rather than crying out to God, it's us, it's our sin, God, it's what I've done, it's what your people have done. Guess what he does? He blames Elisha, the prophet of God. He said, Elisha, basically, I'm going to kill him dead. And so he seeks the life of the prophet of God. That in blaming Elisha, y'all, he's also blaming God. Have you ever blamed God? For real, though. You don't have to shake your head, but just look at me like, yeah, preacher, I hear you. That you blame God for some things in your life. And so if you're here this morning and emotionally, psychologically, physically, or maybe even spiritually, you feel hopeless, then there's good news for you and me today. Because I believe that God is our help for hard times, that God is our help in hard times. I believe that God is your help and my help when things are at their worst, when there's nothing that we can do. We need to simply learn how to trust God. So we get over to 2 Kings chapter 7. And let me run through it real quickly so you get a gist of what this story is all about. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, we find Elisha, he prophesies that within 24 hours, the economy and food supply would miraculously be restored, that God was going to provide. So you get over to verse 2, and then there is a royal officer that says sarcastically, y'all, even if God opened the windows of heaven, listen, this could not happen. That he's saying in essence, that even if pigs could fly, God's not going to restore us. God is not going to rescue us. Even if God busted a move like he did with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, they were in the desert, and manna came out of heaven, that it wasn't going to happen. Anybody ever been there? I mean, you speak in faith real good. It's real good talk. But somewhere the devil was talking, you say, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It's a negative. Yeah. You praising God, you crying, and you go home, and you say, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. And you're wondering even this moment, will the relationship last? Will the well of your money dry up? Will the finances last? How long will you be in this health crisis? Will God restore me? Will God heal me? I just believe that God is a God of his word. And if ever he makes a promise to you, God will keep his promises, y'all. But what I love about this story, y'all, it's these four lepers that we look at in verses 3 through 8, that they were the outcast, that they were not allowed within the city walls of Samaria because they were lepers. They were ceremonially unclean. The people looked down. They resolved to begging, y'all. That's how they ate. That's how they made their living. They were begging. So you can only imagine that if you are a beggar and there is no food, you have nothing to beg for. But what I love about them, that God uses them in a mighty way to save Israel alive. That they go into this deserted enemy camp, thinking that the Arameans would be there, and they would throw themselves upon the Arameans, Assyrians, and say, have mercy on us. Maybe they would die. Maybe they would live. But they did something about their situation. I'm talking to somebody today that you need to resolve to do something. That things cannot remain the same. That you've been in a place called stuck for too long. And it's time for you to have faith and to trust God. And move out of that stuck place, move out of that dead place, and watch God do something in your life. Verses 9 through 15, the lepers bring the good news. The city confirms that it's true that the Arameans, they booked up, they got, they ran, y'all, they were scared. And so verse 16 through 20, God's promise is fulfilled as Elisha had spoken, that it would be just as it says in verses 1 through 4 at the end of it, just as God said it would happen, the man of God said it would happen. But guess what? That officer's servant, the official, he never saw it. I wonder how many of us that we can believe God for blessings for other people and watch things come to pass, but we cannot believe God for ourselves, for our circumstances, and what God can do in our lives. And so in looking at this whole story, the question is, how do we apply this Old Testament story to our lives today? Reverend Brown, isn't that the riddle of the Bible? How do we take an ancient text that doesn't really just teach you A, B, C, D, but apply it to our lives today? I'm glad y'all want to know that, and I'm going to let you know how. So let me give you a few applications, a few truths that we can take from this text today. The first one is simply this. God can speak hope into hopeless situations. Oh, that was so simple and profound, it went over y'all head. That God can speak hope in hopeless situations. Listen, that presupposes, you have to know you've been in a hopeless situation, but God spoke hope into your situation. Look at verse 1. It's a hopeless situation. But the man of God, Elisha, the prophet of God, replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. So we notice something in the text. That the prophet of God, the man of God, that he speaks hope in their situation before anything changes. That's just how God operates. That God will speak hope into your situation when cancer is still in your body. That God will speak hope into your situation and all you got is $2 left in the bank. God will speak hope into your situation when listen, you believe in God for a house. You believe in God for material possessions and good. It ain't there yet, and you're checking your pocket. You ain't got, but God will show up and speak hope into your situation. The question, do you believe God? Do you trust God enough? Do you have enough faith in God that God will do it? They're experiencing lack and starvation and death and hard times. But in the moment, God, the God of heaven, showed up with a word of comfort and relief. He's saying to them, help was on the way. And Trill, somebody needs to know this, that help is on the way. Don't despair. Don't give up. Help is on the way. God will show up. I need some folk that will walk with me today and believe that today. Help is coming. Don't give up. Trust God. Help is on the way. It was the Apostle Paul that encouraged the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8. I love Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 lets us know that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit of God, that God will bless his people. God does not condemn his people. You are not condemned. I love Romans chapter 8 where he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then we get to Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25, and this is what it says. We were given this hope. What hope have you been given? Not the kind of hope that the world gives you. Not a wishy-washy kind of hope. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. You remember at Christmas time when you were young, you hoped you would get a certain thing, and sometimes you would. In my neck of the woods, most of the time you wouldn't. I wanted one of those, a red mini bike, y'all. It had that souped-up little motor on it. I was hoping I would get it. I didn't get it. Mom and daddy did not have the money to get it for me. Finally, my brother got one, and we shared that mini bike, and we enjoyed it. But this world's hope is not the kind of hope that God gives us on the inside. That when God saves you, that he impregnates you with his spirit and a hope beyond any other kind of hope. It's not a wishy-washy, well, it might happen hope, but it's a certain hope. And our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is what he says in his word. Our hope is in the promises of God. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. We don't need to hope for it. Who does that? If you already got it, you ain't hoping. It's yours. It's already. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. That's it. That's what faith is. To wait confidently, to wait with patience, to know what God has spoken into your situation, it will come to pass. God's promises give us hope in times of hopelessness. And sometimes, y'all, we become so preoccupied with our problems that we forget all about God. That God has spoken, that you've read God's word, that God has given you a promise, but we're so preoccupied with what we're going through. The situation seems so big, the problem seems insurmountable, that we forget about the promises of God. That listen, we have to take God at his word. We need to develop an attitude of expectancy. And that attitude of expectancy, you know what we call it in the church? We call it faith. And my Bible tells me we walk by faith and not by sight. You may not be able to see it yet. Maybe you can't get your hands on it. But listen, if God said it, it will come to pass. That he's a God of his word and he will not fail you. That's right, so I'm a hallelujah somebody in the house today. I'm looking around me today at 1111 Tally Road. 8-some acres, almost 9 acres. That Sister Jackie stood years ago and said that God's going to wow us, y'all. We couldn't afford nothing in this neighborhood. God gave me the vision that we would plant a church in this community. And I'm going, how, Lord? She said God would wow us. And God did just that. This is a product of faith. Yes. This is a product of trusting God. Yes. This is a product of taking God at his word. That God fulfills his promises to us. So don't become preoccupied with your problems. Look at God. Look to his promises. It's a sad commentary, but a whole lot of Christians believe that hope is just wishing for something that they'll never get. You think it's, yeah, I'm hoping for it, but I'll never get it. But if God says it's yours, why would you doubt God? Why doubt? God can speak hope into hopeless situations. I believe that all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes, and they are amen. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That's it. God is reliable and God is trustworthy, y'all. Anybody remember Old Testament? Old Testament back with Israel and when they were in Egypt. That God's promise was he was going to deliver his children out of the land of Egypt, and God did it. They came up out of the land of Egypt, but guess what? The enemy were following them. That Pharaoh and his army, they were in hot pursuit. Listen, when God delivers, you better believe that the enemy is in hot pursuit of you. That the devil is on your trail, and I'm not just making this up either. I think anytime you're living a life for God, the enemy wants to destroy you and take you out. But when we look at that story, Israel, they were at a place where they were between a rock and a hard place, that they had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the army behind them. They had the mountains on the side of them, and they were wondering, where in the world are we going to go? But God speaks to the man Moses. He says, take your rod, stretch it out over the Red Sea. Oftentimes, God requires an act of faith from us. It's God's power. It's what God does. But God actively asks, you do something. You have a part in this. So he stretches out the rod. Y'all know the story. Y'all saw the Ten Commandments. Y'all saw Charlton Heston. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And the sea opened, and they went through on dry ground. But Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. Listen, the application for this point is, don't let your present situation drown out God's promises. Did you hear what I said? Don't let your present situation drown out God's promises to you. God can speak into your hopeless situation. God can speak into hopelessness. The next truth that I want to, that we can apply to our lives is this. Don't let doubt rob you of deliverance. Look at verse 2 real quick. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha, the prophet, the mighty man of God, replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. Can you imagine seeing the blessings of God, but not getting an opportunity to experience it? That God opens the windows of heaven, that God is reliable and trust. He pours out a blessing, but you don't get a chance to taste it, to touch it, and to see it. That's the situation that this officer was in. Verses 17 through 20, I'll let y'all read that for yourselves, but it proves out the story in verses 1 through 4. 17 through 20 lets us know that the story, it came to pass, that God fulfilled the promise. But the officer's faith and hope, it was gone. The officer's skepticism cost him everything. Israel received deliverance from the Lord, but the officer never got a chance to see it because of doubt. James chapter 1, y'all, verses 5 through 8 says this. If you need wisdom, if you need anything, if it's God's, God will give it to you. If it's promised, God will give it to you. If you need anything, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God. Be sure that your faith is in God and God alone, nobody else but God. Don't waver, for a person divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people, the Bible says, should not expect to receive anything, nothing, zip zero from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided, is what the word says, between God and the world. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, that's where we stand sometimes, that our loyalty is divided between this world and God. That on one hand, we're believing God for something. We're standing on the promises of God. But on the other hand, like this, and we're listening to what people say to us. We're looking at the world around us, and we're looking at how they get things. And God said, not so. That we have to stand upon the promises and the word of God. We cannot be double-minded in our faith. In your faith walk, you cannot walk between two worlds. It's with God and God and God alone. I mean, sometimes, y'all, you have to disconnect yourself from some negative folks. Did you hear what I said? That ain't going to happen. That sounds crazy. How you think you going to get a house and you ain't got, but hey, God said it, I believe it. You in stage 4. Are we praying over you right now? Yeah, we want to go pick out the casket? We ready to do his funeral, have cornbread and some greens when you gone, and we going to cry over you? But no, God says he's going to bring you out of it. If God spoke it, God said, you better believe God and trust God. Don't listen to negative folk. Well, we put people in the ground early, in the grave early, don't we, y'all? Yeah. Oh, Lord, he's sick, y'all. I heard they got cancer. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Sister, no. Listen, I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek. I'm going to knock. I'm going to listen for the promises of God and watch God bring it to pass. If God decides he wants to take me home, he's going to take me home. But in the interim, in the meantime, I'm trusting God for a healing, y'all. I'm trusting God for deliverance and a breakthrough. I don't know about y'all. Now it happens that I'm gone. That's all right, y'all. Do what y'all need to do. I'm going home to be with the Lord. Get y'all, cry over me for about an hour or two. Get some cornbread and some stale chicken and a roll and some lemon cake and some tea. And y'all gone on. Church, do what you elect somebody else to be the pastor, but I'm gone. There's a story of a man that slid over the side of a cliff, but he was able to grab onto a branch just before he slipped and fell. It's at the last second. So the man, here's the man, he's dangling over the cliff, hundreds of feet from the ground. And so he screams out with a loud voice, help me, will somebody please help me? A voice came out of the sky, said, do you believe that I can help you? The man responded, yes, I believe that you can help me. The voice said again, do you believe I have the power to save you? Yes, I believe you have the power to save me. The voice said again, do you believe that I love you enough to help you? The man replied, yes, I believe that you love me enough to help me. The voice from the sky said, because you believe me, I will help you. Now let go. After a brief silence, the man said, is there anybody else up there? I believe we're like that man sometimes. That God is saying, let go. But we doubt God. and we allow our doubts to rob us of a blessing, to rob us of deliverance. Who is God saying to you right now, I need you to let go? You've done all you can do with your marriage. You need to let go.
That's right. That's right.
You've done all you can do in that relationship. You just need to let go.
Right.
Listen, you need to let go in your finances. You've done all that you can do. I believe that even as it relates to our finances, y'all, this is not some name it and claim it kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I believe that God can supernaturally, listen, blow your mind when it comes to a financial situation. That God can bring stuff out of nowhere and bless you and blow your mind. I believe that. I watched God do it. He's done it for us. Out of nowhere, God did it. So faith isn't about seeing the how. Faith is about knowing the who. Faith is not about seeing things come to pass, A, B, C, D. But it's about the trusting the God that's able to bring it to pass. And so we're just about done. We're going to do our baptisms in just a minute here. So, but here's the part of the story I really like. It's in verses 3 through 8. Let's read that. Let's read that. So it says this, starting in verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy. They had a skin disease, sitting at the entrance of the city gates. They could not get in. They were not allowed in. They said this, why should we sit here waiting to die? We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go back and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would die anyway. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and galloping horses and sounds of great army approaching. The king of Israel was, they said, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. Look at what the lepers did. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another. They were eating, y'all. Chicken and some turnip greens, some candied yams and ham hocks, y'all, and meatloaf and some pig ears and some, no, they wouldn't eat that. They were chitlins. I'm going to upset somebody in the house today. I'm country. I'm from the South. I love it all. I love it all. I love it. I love it. I love it. In moderation, eating and drinking wine. That wasn't a potent wine. And they carried all silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. So notice what's happening in the text. That God uses lepers, the outcast, the base folk, the folk that folk look down on. That God used them to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. I believe that's the kind of God we serve today. People may not know your name. People may look down on you. People may think nothing of you. Oh, you don't have a degree. Oh, you know, you didn't matriculate from this college or that college, do this. You're not Ivy League. You're not this or that. But listen, I believe that in Corinthians, God said God can take the base things. God can take lowly things. God can take the little things, the nothing things of this world, and use them in a mighty way and use them for it. That's what he does in the life of the lepers. That's what God wants to do in your life and my life. In the lepers' desperation, listen, they came to a decision. And this was their decision. Listen, they could go back to the city with everybody else and die with them. They weren't trying to do that. They could sit there and do nothing and die right where they were outside of the city gates and die of hunger. They weren't trying to hear that. But they said this, but we can go forward. We can do something different. And somebody needs to hear that this morning, because I believe you need to do something different. You've been doing the same old, same old, same old, same old, and nothing has changed. And I think that different starts with having faith in God. It's a step of faith that something different can happen in your life, in my life. And so they go to the camp of the enemy. They said, if they kill us, we're just going to be dead. Whatever happens, maybe they'll be merciful to us. Maybe they will save us alive, but we're going to do something different. I imagine this story, y'all, because the way it reads, it sounds like at the same time that these three lepers, these six legs begin to take their small steps, y'all, that God magnified their steps. that God magnified the sound, y'all. And to the Aramaeans and to the army, it sounded like it was an army out there, horses and chariots. And the people booked up, they ran, they got out of there. But it was just three lepers that God used for his glory. That God wants to use you for his glory. But the question is, will you withdraw? Will you say somebody in the church made me mad, they made me angry, so I'm not going there. Will you withdraw into your own little cocoon, your own little world, because I'm not going to mess with those church folk over there. You know, they negative, you know, they judgmental. I'm not going to mess with them. Will you withdraw? Will you stay where you are? Will you stay in a situation where it's certain that nothing will change? Or will you get up from where you are? Will you get up in faith? Will you have enough trust in God that you'll listen to the voice of God? And whatever he says for you to do, you will do exactly that. When God says move, you ought to move just like that. I know that's a rap song, but listen, that's a word song too. If God tells me to stand still, I'm going to stand still and wait and see the salvation. If God tells me to move, it's time to move. It's time to get up and to move. So the lesson of the lepers, y'all, I love this part of it because it's our story too. That we may not have had a skin disease, but we all had a sin disease. How do you know? My Bible tells me all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have slipped, tripped, dipped. Did we done something? Oh, y'all got halos back there. Y'all got halos. I've never done anything. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But by his grace, his mercy, he saved us. But I believe this too, that God wants to use you and me to be a blessing, to be a deliverer for somebody else. Because there are people that don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sins. I believe that man's extremity is God's opportunity to magnify his power and his glory in and through us, y'all. God often uses the unexpected to reveal his power. He used Moses, the reluctant leader with a speech problem. He used Gideon, the faithful warrior, the fearful warrior. He used Rahab, the prostitute who helped Israel. He used a woman by the name of Ruth. She was a loyal Moabite. He used David, the shepherd boy turned king, and who was an adulterer, became the apple of God's eye. He uses Esther, the orphan queen. He uses Mary. He uses Peter and so many other people in the Bible that they had shortcomings, but God used them to his glory. God wants to use you and you and you too. God wants to use us. A few more minutes, y'all. We're going to do these baptisms, y'all, the exciting part of today's worship experience, and we'll be out of here. The final application, which is really the focal point and the foundation of this story, is this. When you find good news, you have to share it.
That's right.
Wow, that was a lot, wasn't it? Look at verse 9. This is what the lepers said. They said, finally they said to each other, this is not right. We got all of this food up in here, all of this chicken, all this good stuff, all this gold, all this silver. This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly befall us, come upon us. Come on, let us go back and tell the people at the palace. Let the people know what's going on. That these lepers became people of breakthrough and deliverance. Only because of what God had done for them.
Right.
Don't keep your blessing to yourself. If God has delivered you, God has saved you, don't keep it to yourself. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Share the good news to everybody. This Old Testament story is a New Testament story. It's a story for us today. Like I said before, we were once lepers, but God saved us by his divine grace and power and love for us. And God calls us to tell someone else about what God has done. Only God can fill a hungry soul. And maybe you're here today and you're searching for something. Maybe you don't know what you're searching for, that you searched high and low. Maybe you're between a rock and a hard place. Maybe you feel like you're living in hard times. I want to tell you, God is the answer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, God is the answer. Because only God can heal the sin-sick soul. Only God can save to the utmost all that come to him through Christ Jesus. Only God can do it. I like Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, pastor, and preacher that said a long time ago that he considered himself in this way. He says that he was nothing more than one beggar showing another beggar where to get bread. I love that. In a time when we have preaching personalities that are placed on pedestals, I want you to see me as a pastor. I have feet of clay. I don't always get it right. You can always ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. But we are preaching for people out there today that we put our halos on as we're all of that in a bag of chips, and we're not. All we are, we're like those lepers. We're beggars trying to tell another beggar where they can find bread, where they can find the bread of life, where they can find eternal life. So don't get it twisted. And I think as long as we can live and operate in our humanness, in our imperfect way, people see us and value that in us. When you find good news, you got to tell somebody. I'm about to close out, but I got to tell you this story before I close. It kind of tied all in together. Listen, so this is my old wash bucket. I would wash my car in this religiously, y'all. I would fill it with soap and water. Get out there and take a sponge and wash my truck. I don't do it much anymore. I rely on the car wash, the wash tub. Let them do the washing. I'm getting too old for that. But anyway, yeah, I was out washing one day, washing my truck, took it out, and I filled it with water. I put a little soap in there, y'all, and I began to wash. I went to reach back into my wash bucket, y'all, and nothing was in it. I'm like, where'd the water go? What did I knock it over? So I fill it up again. I put the soap in it. I do all of that. Y'all, wash. Y'all, I look at it. It's empty again. So I notice something. There's this little stream of water going down the driveway. I notice in my favorite, y'all can tell it's worn, y'all. I used to use this. It's worn. That there's a hole in the bottom of the bucket that my bucket could not hold water. Y'all know some folk like that in y'all life. That they cannot hold water. We use that in a negative sense. Yeah. Y'all know that's true. There's some folk in your life. Listen, you can't tell them nothing. You tell them a secret, the whole church is gonna know what the secret is. The whole family is gonna know what it is. They cannot hold water, they can keep nothing to themselves. But here's the crux of the test and the value of the lesson today. Listen, I believe as believers, we ought to be like this bucket, y'all. That there ought to be something in us. That we ought to have, we should not be able to hold the wonders and the goodness of God. That it should flow through us to people that don't have a saving relationship. That we allow the wonders of God to flow through us, the saving power of God, the deliverance of God to flow through us to people that don't know him. God saves you by his grace. When God raises you, listen, it ought to be flow and overflow. Listen. I know there's a leak in this old building. I got to move. But whatever's leaking out of it, and let it speak of Jesus. Let it speak of his power. Let it speak of his deliverance. Let it speak of his grace, y'all. What's leaking out of you today? Is it faith? Is it trust in God? Is it the power of God? What's leaking out of you today? There's a hole. But I've been filled with the wonders of God. I've been filled by his power. And if anything leaks out, whatever it is, let it look like. Let it look like the saving grace and the power of God. And why? Amen, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. That's all right. And so why is that? Because there are people that were once like you and me that did not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and they need to have one. And you will be the chosen vessel of God that once leper, now saved, that God will use to lead other people to him. So if you're here today, are you waiting for rescue? Are you in a hard place? Are you in hard times? Well, maybe God is speaking to you today and telling you that help is on the way. It's right around the corner. Maybe like the lepers, God is calling you to step out on faith, to take a risk, and become a carrier of hope to people that don't know him. And so I leave you today with three challenges. Just three challenges is this. First, trust God even when circumstances seem impossible. That he's the God of an impossible. That he can do anything but fail. Challenge number two, don't dismiss the small steps, the small things. God might be working through your movement at this time. So when God says move, When God says speak, speak. When God says act, you act. You do what God tells you to. Number three, be ready to share the good news you found with others in need. Again, we're just one beggar trying to tell another beggar where they can find bread. The last time I checked, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Amen and amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.